Not too long ago, I read the book, The Art of Happiness. It's actually written by Dalai Lama. No worries, I'm not changing allegiance. I'm still staying where I am, and I'm more convinced than ever that where I am is good. But the one thing that was sticking out to me is that in the Tibetanian Buddhism, they believe of the transmigration of souls. So when someone dies, they believe that the soul of this person goes immediately into a different body of a child that is born at the same time. The belief plays an important role when they look for their new spiritual leader, their Dalai Lama. So when the Dalai Lama dies, a search is made for a boy born at the same moment of his death, and then that boy is taken away and brought into a monastery and will be developed and grow up as a new leader. And everyone from that moment on will know who that person is. This is the new Dalai Lama. There is no question about that. This will be his new identity. And this Dalai Lama has no choice but accept that. There is no freedom to change this in the future, no option to abdicate. Well, this is a very strange concept for us here in our Western world. We strongly believe in our freedom. We strongly believe in our freedom of choice and that we have a strong influence in who we want to become. Over the Passion Week, we have wrestled with the question of Jesus, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? This is a question of identity. We have heard on Palm Sunday, Bartimaeus, this blind man born blind, answer this question, who do you think I am? And for him, he was the son of David. He yelled out to him, say, son of David, have mercy on me. We heard the crowd, what they said on Good Friday, who Jesus is. You are the one who needs to be crucified. You are somebody who is not pretend, who is not the one that you claim to be. And Easter asked this question. Who do you say I am? If the Dalai Lama would have been asked this question, who do you say I am? There would be no hesitation to answer that. But interestingly enough, people were not so sure about Jesus. They were not sure about who he really is, what his identity is. That he was different was obvious. But who is he? And the question that is today that I would want to propose to you is, who do you say Jesus is? Here's the context for the question we are contemplating over this Easter season. It comes from Matthew. In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, this is what it says here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, we have heard it, if you have attended for a while, at Grace Point, that Israel lived with hope. With the hope of a future Messiah who eventually will come and then save the world and save Israel. Israel would have a king again. He would be the true descendant of David. He would be a warrior king, freeing Israel from all oppression. He would purge the temple and establish true worship. Messiah would bring justice and peace to the world and put things right. He would bring God's kingdom on earth. However, Nobody really knew how and when he would come. The only thing they knew is that the prophets foretold that he would come from Bethlehem. There were, in the meantime, several would-be messiahs that showed their face during that time. However, they came and went, attracting followers who quickly dispersed when the whole mission failed. So who is Jesus? What do people think about him? Jesus took the disciples a good 2 days' walk away from his normal day-to-day life. And in this secluded area, he had this discussion with the disciples. Who do you say I am? What do the people think? It's interesting that in the eyes of the people, Jesus was not the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He was not the cozy, comfortable friend of children, but rather an eccentric prophet, according to the answers of old, who stood up and spoke fearlessly God's word against the wicked and rebellious kings. In their eyes, Jesus was acting as a prophet, as a mouthpiece of God against injustice and wickedness. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "Now, who do you say I am?" This is actually an awkward question, isn't it? I have to think about that, that I would go up to somebody and say, "Who do you think I am?" It's very awkward. Well, what would you say? Or someone would come to me and would ask me that. Who do you say I am? I say, what? We ask us or say it often differently when we say, hey, who do you think I am? You know, when we defend ourselves against false claims. But to ask this question, who do you say I am, is a very awkward question. But so much is hinging on that question. Not so much on that question, it's more on the answer to that question. And so let's contemplate this morning the answer to that question. First of all, the answer or your answer to that question is personal. You can't help but notice that this is a personal question. Even in the whole scenario when Jesus was asking them, who do you think the people say I am? That's one thing. And you can discuss it at length. You can talk about this. Who do you think people are? Oh, they have all kinds of opinions about Jesus. All kinds of ideas. But then he follows up with this question, who do you say I am? And all of a sudden, it becomes personal. What do you think? And now the disciples are put on the spot. I have to make a decision now. I have to say something. It challenges me to a very personal answer. You cannot hide behind what others say. It can be quite uncomfortable to be challenged to answer that question. It reveals your personal opinion or lack thereof. Today we're celebrating and commemorating Easter. With this question, Jesus pierces through the Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and the days off and holidays and may ask you and me this question, who do you think I am in light of what we celebrate today? So I would suggest that you just take some time before you answer that question. Or what you do if I would take the mic and I would go through the aisles and would hold it in front of you and say, who do you say he is? It's a very personal question. It's also a relational question. Who do you think I am is also a question that highlights my relationship to this person. It's not just a theoretical question of theology and to bring out my whole knowledge of theology. It's a very personal question that is relational. It's not about theological correctness. I hope I get the answer right. But it is something about how are we related here? Where am I towards you and where you are in my life? It is not about passing an exam here. It's about that relationship. If Jesus would step at this moment in front of you and you would look him into his eyes, you cannot just throw some abstract sentences at him and get rid of this uncomfortable moment. It is a question that is revealing your relationship with this Jesus. Where do you stand? Friend? Foe? neutral?
Doubts?
This question gets you out of your church membership and the right doctrines about Jesus to a very personal answer to who he is. You stand before Jesus and he asks you, who do you say I am? But then your answer is also subjective. See, it's not a test here. And often we look at those questions as a test. You know, as long as I get the right doctrinal answer, then I belong to the crowd. And that's how church sometimes can reduce this to this rightness, just to do the right answer, and that's always fine. No, we said it is a personal answer, and it's also a very subjective answer. Just observe from our text how many people answered the question differently. You know how the disciples were reflecting on what they thought Jesus is, and that was a different way how they described him. For many people, he was this powerful, outspoken prophet. For the Pharisees, he was a threat, an imposter. For Jesus' family, he was out of his mind. For some, he was a good teacher. They have never heard anyone like that. For the blind man, he was the one, all I know, I was blind, now I see. So who is Jesus for you? You. And strip away all the things that we sometimes think we have to say and to do the right thing right now and say the right thing. Who is Jesus for you? Have you experienced Jesus? Have you experienced him at all? Read about him? Heard about him? Where are you in this journey with Jesus? Is he your healer? Because at some point of time you have prayed and he heard that prayer and you attributed to him that you were healed. Is he your answer man? That whenever you have a question, you can come to Jesus in prayer and he will give you an answer. Is he the one who comforts you when you're in trouble and when you're disturbed? Is Jesus the one that you only meet on Sunday morning, but not during the week? Is he the one you're praying to when you are in trouble or somebody dies? Is he distant right now? Or is he close? Do you have doubts about Jesus? Questions? Does he actually matter to you or not? Do you think about him? Is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead of any importance to you? Other than when we go to the funeral and then we claim that Jesus rose from the dead and there must be some hope somehow. See, this question is personal. And your answer is personal. Your answer is also relational. Your answer is, yes, subjective. It reflects where you are at this very moment with Jesus. And therefore, your answer is also dynamic. Your answer is, and you will answer this question according to what you know and what you feel right now. And your answer may change. Your answer may change over time. And if you could go back even weeks, months, years ago, and you would reflect on your journey with Jesus, and you would have probably answered the question totally different than you would answer the question right now. On Palm Sunday, we heard about Bartimaeus. He was the one who was, for him, the son of David. And moments later, he would answer the question, he's my healer. He is the one who makes the blind to see. And his whole perspective changed from the one that he might got theologically right, but personally, he became the one who opened his eyes. Just explore the difference the resurrection of Jesus made for the disciples, how it changed their whole relationship with him, how this question and their answer was changing and is changing, is dynamic. Thomas, Jesus was dead. And don't give me those fairy tales that he rose from the dead. And just some women tell those fairy tales. And then he kneels before the risen Savior and cannot say other than my Lord and my God. The same is true for the disciples who were on their way to Emmaus. For them, everything came to a screeching halt. Their whole faith was in shatters. Jesus, the one who made all these promises of who he is and Son of God and King of David and on his King of David's throne, here he is hanging on the cross and is put into the grave. Well, thanks so much. That was wasted 3 years of our lives. And then they meet Jesus. And they feel strangely warmed in their hearts. That's what they say when they walk with him and he talks to them and they don't recognize him. But all of a sudden, when he disappeared, their eyes were open and they saw in him, wow, he is risen. He's truly risen from the dead. And they couldn't help but make their way in darkness back to Jerusalem and tell others about that, because who do you say I am has changed for them. The answer has changed. He is not dead. He is alive. And their lives has changed. Peter, doubting the women. Peter, denying Jesus. Peter, who could not muster the courage to stand up for the one that at that very moment gave his life for him. He met Christ. And Christ asked him a very basic question. Peter, do you love me? It can't be more basic. Do you love me? Here's a question that is similar to the one, who do you say I am? It's a relational question. It's how are we two here? And his whole life is turned around to the point that he becomes, according to church history, a martyr for this Jesus. Who do you say I am? I bet he would have answered this question differently at different moments in his life. Paul. Well, Jesus needs to be eradicated. This whole Christ follower thing, they need to be killed. We need to bring back the law. We need to bring back the good Old Testament so that there are not these sects arising out of that and disturb the peace. And then he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he's recognizing him as the one that he actually is persecuting. And not just some Christians. It is Jesus who lived in those Christians. For him, Jesus, the one to be eradicated, becomes the one for whom he fights for the rest of his life. And he develops the greatest theologies that we have in the Bible of Jesus. In fact, he writes the first testimony about the risen Jesus Christ. How about you? How has your view of Jesus changed? How has it changed? What contributed to this change? Has it changed? That your view of Jesus changes is a good sign, because you're in a dynamic relationship. You know, when you are in a married relationship with your spouse, wouldn't you agree that over time your view of your spouse changes? Maybe you're so good that you know right from the start who that is. Great for you. Good for you. I didn't. I had to learn quite a bit about my spouse. And still do. And my answers would have changed over the years to answer the question, who do you say I am? And that is a good and healthy thing, that our viewpoints change. Personally, in my life, I would say that my view of Jesus dramatically changed over the years. Being a little bit nerdy at the beginning, and maybe today still reading a lot of theological stuff. In the beginning, I had all the answers. In my early years of ministry, I had all the answers about Jesus. Just ask me, and I will defend him. I know that I have today way more questions. But I do feel that I'm also closer with not having answers. Who do you say Jesus is? Lastly, your answer is transformational. Your answer, if it's an honest, heart, deep heart answer, will change your life. You cannot just say whatever you say, however you answer that question, and walk away unchanged. It's either that you say, well, Jesus never meant a lot to me in the past, never today. It's fine. But then you had to at least answer that question. And you had made that decision that he will not change your life and you will move on. But if Easter is something that is more, as I said before, than Easter eggs and Easter bunnies, if Easter is truly about a risen person, Jesus Christ, if he truly came out of death, if that is real, you have to change your perspective on life. You cannot live the way you live right now, because then death is not the end. Then life is different. There's a different perspective. There's something more than just living everyday life. There is a reality outside of this life that is accessible, that is real, and I can enter into this reality. And the Bible calls this eternal life. And Jesus suggests that we can enter it through faith, through putting our trust in Jesus. And out of that trust in Jesus, my life changes. It takes a turn. It takes a different direction. Now my life is always dictated and determined by my relationship to Jesus Christ. It is who he is for me that will dictate now how I am as a father, as a husband, as an employer, as an employee, as a neighbor, as a friend. He is the one that changes my life. And I cannot just move on. And he's also the one who truly gives me hope in sight of death, my own and that of my loved ones. He changes everything because he, for me, is the one who has risen from the dead. So who do you say Jesus is? Where are you on this journey? See, the thing is, there is no wrong answer. And sometimes we as churches want to get people into that box. You know, well, as long as you have the answer right, you're fine. But I'm not giving it to you today. It is your personal answer to this question. It is your answer to this question. Who do you say I am? You cannot fail. You cannot fail this question. It's just what you asked to say today. But what I've tried to suggest to you, you may be on a journey. You may be on this journey of discovering Jesus. You may be far away from him right now, and it's all a big mystery, and you happen to be here for whatever reason, and it's still a question, but you're on this journey. Say, I want to figure this out. You can continue to ignore Jesus. You can answer and say, Jesus is still irrelevant to me. You can hold on to your doubts. You can fight against him. But you can also choose to continue this journey of exploration. You may continue or may have God moments that you cannot explain, but they do happen. Where you have encounters and you cannot explain them otherwise, that something spoke to me, something related to me, and I couldn't help but I have to respond to this. I cannot answer that question for you. We cannot answer that question for you. You need to do this. Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive. What are you going to do about that? Let's pray. Father, we come humbly before you, admitting to you that we are on this journey of exploration, of this journey of faith. And we come to you humbly as you pose this question to each one of us this morning. Who do you say I am? My answer to that question reveals so much about me. Reveals about my faith, my doubts, my questions. Reveals my relationship to you, or if there's no relationship. But the question is still there, Jesus. Who do you say I am? And I pray that we will experience you individually, wherever we are on this journey, you as the one who rose from the dead, who is alive, and who can bring hope, new perspective, love, peace, joy into our chaotic lives. May it be so. Amen.